Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Just Our Look podcast. I'm your host, Key, and today I'm here with Nick, yet another person I went to college with, yet another person that was in the same scholarship. Hi, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to reconnect as well, too. It's been a minute, but I'm happy to be here.
Of course. Well, we can jump right into it. Nick, I know you are out here typing very hard, very fast. It's literally your life. But for those who don't know, if you want to get started with just like, I mean, obviously you went to Seton Hall, but you know, your major, what you're doing now. Yeah, we could chat.
Okay, yeah. So I am Nicholas. I am a graduate of Seton Hall, class of 2021. And my major, I was a double major. I was broadcast and journalism. And then, yeah, so that was kind of my career at Seton Hall. Focused on all that. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So when you went, did you come in your freshman year knowing you were going to double major? Or was it kind of like, did you end up on a completely different path, you know?
Yeah, so when I went in, I was just journalism, and I had the opportunity because in high school I took college credit, and that helped advance where I was in terms of my standing at Seton Hall. So I was like, okay, well, I have this extra time, like, let me double major in something or minor in something. And then I went to, like, a broadcast class, and I was like, I want to double major in this. Like, it's a new skill to have. Like, I could be in front of the camera, behind the camera. So that was kind of my goal. So then I declared that my junior year, finished my first major, and then the remainder of my Seton Hall experience was focusing on that second major.
Amazing. So you didn't go in thinking you were going to be like the next George Stephanopoulos?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because I always feel like with you know, a major, it's like, obviously, like, this is going to be your career. But I really like that you just did it to have a new skill set and to, like, learn new things. Because, you know, they say college is supposed to be about exploring. But
yeah,
do we actually have the time to explore all the time? Debatable.
And you know what? I will say that I was, like, in this period where I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Like, I tried a minor in Spanish, and I was like, the Spanish department at Seton Hall, I still don't even speak Spanish till this day. So I was like, nah.
Yeah, no. I definitely, similar, I had those same aspirations, you know, like, oh, this would be nice. And then I realized you have to pay $300 for the textbook. I said, suddenly, I will just survive off of what I know.
Exactly. Like, Google Translate will be my lifesaver, for sure.
Clear. Precisely. So, wait, the Spanish thing is really funny. Because you really had high goals, but you realized not everything is just meant to happen. Not everything is meant to be.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So, now that you're post-graduation, you know, class of 2021, let's see, your senior year, was that still all virtual, or did it, or was that the transition from, like, maybe we can step on campus once and that's it?
It was definitely step on campus once and let's test it out. Yeah, it was a hybrid. And it was my senior year. And also, too, like, I just wanted to enjoy it. Like, I'm from Texas. So coming to New Jersey, I was like, oh, I don't want to go back home. I don't want to do that. My first semester, my senior year, I was on campus and then I left because I was like, I'm not paying this dorms. I'm not paying for food. I just can live at home, you know? So that's kind of how it went. It was definitely a weird vibe though on campus. Like, no one was there. My friends were all gone. Like, it was just me, myself, and I, like, in my dorm room. Like,
oh my gosh. Ugh, not school being a literal dead zone.
It was. And, like, even the winter, like, the fog would make it seem like I'm in a scary movie. Like, it was too much.
Imagine, especially being on campus at night. Like, there's just something, like, it's already dark. And then the one light pole every like 10 miles really like wasn't helping.
No, for real. It was insane there. But yeah, I literally hated it though. It was so much. It was a lot.
So then, but now you're in grad school.
Yes. Oh.
So you kind of took a risk with, going from a hybrid class senior year to potentially hybrid grad school.
Yes, and I applied to grad school January of my senior year, and I was like, I don't know how long this pandemic was going to last. I don't know in terms of my job, like, will I find something? Like, at that time, a lot of journalists were getting cut off. Like, everybody was still, they don't need photographers. They don't need, copy editors. Like, they're just relying on you doing
What are we
it
taking
all.
pictures of?
Exactly. Like, do an interview via Zoom, So I was like, all that uncertainty. I was like, you know what? Let me apply to a grad program and let's just see where it goes. I was like so hesitant to do it though because of what you said, like it's a hybrid course potentially. I was like, oh, I cannot do this. Like, I was falling asleep in classes, like during Seton Hall. Like, it was so much like to adjust to it, and I was like, I don't know if this is what I want to do, if that makes sense.
Right. Because even there were a few classes at Seton Hall that were offered like virtually, but it's that obviously pre-pandemic, and it was kind of like, why would I pay? Some people loved it. They had an extra day, whatever. But for me specifically, I was like, why would I sign up for a virtual class? That is literally me setting myself up to fail.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, when you were applying to grad school, like, so your thought process was, maybe we can get there a little, we can delay the scary prospects of like job hunting, but also like, a master's doesn't hurt anybody. So, what was your like process in, trying to figure out like, A, where did you want to be? B, sticking within like your major, like what was it like about, where you go now that you were like, this is the best option? Or honestly, did you only apply to one school and you were like, this is it, I got it, and that's all I'm gonna do?
So I applied to two schools. I applied to NYU. Yes, I wanted to be in New York. That was my whole goal. Being an entertainment, arts, and culture reporter, I'm like, I need to be in the hub of it all. So I applied to NYU, didn't get it, which I'm super grateful for, though, because I was not about to pay 100K, anything of that sort.
When I tell you I was aghast at the tuition prices, we went to a private school,
Yeah.
but I wasn't ready for NYU prices. Oh my God.
I looked at the tuition and fees. I said, I said, let's take a break really quick. Like, let's adjust.
Let's reel it in. Reel it in.
Yes,
Let's
for sure. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like wig, because who's like affording this? And I felt like they weren't going to offer me scholarship money, grants. So I'm like, okay, like I gotta hustle. But yeah, NYU, and then I applied to a Craig Newmark City University Graduate School of Journalism, and it was affordable, and I got in, and I got a scholarship. So I was like, okay, we're going to Craig Newmark. So,
period.
yeah.
That's it. And it's honestly like looking at, I always get the pronunciation of CUNY schools wrong. I'm not gonna lie, I will say I used to call them CUNY, but
Oh gosh.
that was just me being a little slow. It was me saying it for the first time. How am I supposed to know it's
Some people in New
CUNY?
York don't even say it right. And I'm like, you're from the area. Like, what is happening?
Right, because you will hear me forgetting, going, oh yeah, oh that CUNY school. But anywho, so okay, love that it's affordable. But yeah, as I was saying, like looking at the prices of like CUNY schools, and then like I don't know if Texas has like a similar thing, but like even I think New Jersey State School is Rutgers, like, and that tuition is pretty affordable. Like the access I feel like that CUNY schools have, like money wise, is so like Do people talk about it? Like, I feel like it's kind of slept on.
The like affordability of CUNY.
Yeah. And even for like a non-New York resident, like it's still not like clutching my pearls, you know, where's the money
No.
coming from?
And I feel like a lot of people now are starting to look at CUNY as like a good way, because even some of my friends are looking into, programs with CUNY or, and you get a lot of people from CUNY schools going to graduate programs within CUNY. So I feel like people are starting to become more aware. Like, of course, everybody wants the dream of like Columbia, NYU, but at that point, you're just paying for a name, in my opinion. Like, you're throwing down 150K for, the journalism program at Columbia is, I think, like 8 months, and you're throwing away like so much money, So it's like a lot of things to deal with, but I'm super grateful for CUNY and what they do for like New York students to people outside of it. Like the affordability is so nice.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, especially like when we were in high school. I don't know what it was like in Texas, but like there is that glamour of like, you know, the name, you know, like meanwhile, like you always hear about Columbia, NYU, even FIT, okay? And I like was 5 seconds from applying to there. But you can literally go to a CUNY school, a SUNY school. There's like, and it literally will be half the price, you
Exactly.
know?
Or go to a random school in like Idaho and it'd be like.
Right. If Idaho's your jam, if they have, you know, a football team and you're just there for the vibes, then that's great. But like, we really, I don't, I'm really curious to know what it's like for like, you know, obviously students in like high school, even, you know, when you get to college freshman year. But like, sometimes the name, it's not worth it. Sometimes the name is all that there is. And then, like, you get there and every school has their issues. You frequently talk about the issues Seton Hall has. Like, would they really have been that different anywhere else? I'm curious. I feel like the answer is no. But so now that you're in grad school, are you doing full time, part time?
I am doing a full-time schedule. It is so, Kimani, let me tell you, it is so stressful. I've had several breakdowns because on top of that, I am a contributing reporter for a publication outside of school. I work a job on campus, and then because my schedule's constantly changing, I was like, well, I need to make money somehow. So I'm an Uber Eats driver too. I wear so many hats every hour. But it's stressful, but I'm able to manage it. And I still don't know how I'm managing it. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting experience being a full-time student.
Right. And that's also what's so crazy to me about grad school, because you see that they offer full-time classes, and then you're like, okay, so what about my full-time job for these full-time bills? Like, what are we doing there? That's so
Exactly.
interesting. And then meanwhile, there's like whole adults with children, with families, with jobs, like, how are we all here surviving right now?
And one of my good friends in grad school, like, she's a little bit older, but she's planning a wedding too. So I'm like, how are you doing
See?
this?
Right. And even also in like my recent tumblings of looking into like grad school again. Like, for example, like we were just talking about NYU, for example, you're charging six figures and you want me to be full time. So I'm in a six figure program with no job because you told me not to have a job. Oh,
Make it make sense.
how are we doing? How is this working for anybody? How are we? And especially when, you know, you're at the stage like us, like we moved out, we have spaces, you know, like do we have a millionaire aunt who is paying our rent? Odds are slim. They are very slim. So, like, how am I stopping my life to pursue school? How is that realistic for everybody?
Yeah, and too, when I first started grad school, I was so confident. I was like, oh, I can manage it. I did it in Seton Hall. Like, I can do it here. And I was working at Ralph Lauren, and I lasted a month because I was like, I cannot do it. Y'all have me working 40 hours a week, like
Oh,
on top of a
retail?
full, yes, let me. It was too much.
Retail? No, retail will literally work you to the bone. And the thing is, and because I worked retail literally all through undergrad, and it's such like a toxic relationship, specifically the retail industry, because it's like if you, especially if you work at a place where you're like you like the people, or like at minimum, like you can have a conversation and not want to like leave your job, you know?
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, like the people here are great. And then you're making money. You're like, okay, that's cool. But don't work at a place that's understaffed, because then they'll be like, hey, Nick, somebody called out. Can you come in? And then you're like, wow, I did have this one night in this entire week to myself, or I could go and make money. So then it's like, all right, the appeal of making money is significantly better than being at home.
Yes.
And now you're tired.
For
And now
no.
somebody's in your face because you don't have their size.
Or their coupon doesn't work. Or like some
Right. Like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, this picture of a coupon you have, I cannot accept this. It's not gonna work out. You're
No.
asking me to go to the back. I've been in the back in I've been back there all day. There is not a single size left in what you want.
No, when they would ask me to go to the back, I would just go and be like on my phone, like take a little
Right.
break.
Because, right, like you said, you were practically working 40 hours. Like, you will know that story like the back of your hand. Ma'am, the shipment's not coming till next week. So, I literally don't know what to tell you.
No, and it was so short staffed too. And because of my schedule during the week, I would work Friday, Thursday, or no, sorry, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I would work 10 hours each day. Then throughout the week, I would make up those 10 hours. Like after class, I would go immediately to work. And it was just too much to handle.
On top of like, you know, the classes that you have and the assignments, and you know, you're in school for journalism, so it's not like you could BS a PowerPoint and call it a day. And
Yeah.
it's grad school, like.
And it was back in person. I forgot to mention. So come like May, they announced that like it or something along that line that it was going to be back in person, like fully. We're following like COVID protocols and everything else. But on top of that, like having to commute into the city every day and then commute back to Jersey and then commute back to work, it was just
Right,
insane.
because speak NJ Transit is
Yeah.
not my friend. But when you're privileged enough to get on the path, that's a great thing. But the same situation, you gotta hustle to get to the subway. Then you gotta hustle to get to the path. Are you gonna miss it? Is it right on time? Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? So yeah, no, I can definitely see how that just wasn't working for you.
No, for
But
sure.
a part of at least, you know, being self-reflective is you realized that it was not sustainable.
Yes, and what I learned through all of that too is to vocalize like your boundaries. Because I would tell my boss, even though they didn't listen, I was like, hi, like I need Friday off. Like I just need time to recuperate. And they were like, no, we can't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, we're gonna have to figure out a solution, and that means me leaving. And it's like, okay, well now we're gonna try to figure out, but obviously they didn't. So point being is just like vocalize like your boundaries and where you need to work on yourself in that sense.
Yeah, so then from that transition of working on Ralph Lauren for a month, you know, rest in peace, to you now said you're a contributing reporter.
Correct.
That's okay. So what was that process like? Because obviously you're still in school, but like, you know, did it kind of like, I mean, it's also the field in which you're going to school for. So like, can you tell me that story?
Yeah, so it takes me back to January. And this is why I love my program, is because they really like emphasize getting published. So from January up until August, I was working with a hyper local newspaper in the Bronx. Obviously, I wasn't getting paid, but I was getting bylines. Like a lot of my work were getting published, so I was getting seen and visibility. So that was like through the school, though. So come August, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to keep on not getting paid for the work. So I connected with somebody at the Bronx Times, and they saw my work. They saw like my what I'm capable of, and that's kind of where I landed at the Bronx Times. They gave me like a sample article to do, and they loved it. So and now I just continue doing my work in the arts and culture field in the Bronx, which is very interesting.
That is, I love it when, networking works, when using your resources works. Because it's always such like a vague thing to say when we're in college, but now that, and I've talked about it before, like now that we're in it and we meet people, et cetera, you're like, oh, they weren't lying.
Yeah, and you know what though? I didn't understand the importance of networking during my undergrad experience. I was just like, oh, I'm gonna just be friends with whoever I want to be friends with and not like utilize them to my best ability. It wasn't until grad school where I went to my first like career event. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to network and connect with anybody and everyone because it's definitely an important tool.
Yeah. So I mean, before we started recording, you were telling me about how stressed you were. So I'm curious what like writing for school and then you're writing for work, but you love writing. So like as at any point are you like, I am going to chuck this computer out the window if I have to do one more thing on this on using words, you know?
Yeah, no, there's even today I have an article to write, and I was like, I was at the kitchen table for 5 minutes. I said, I don't want to do this. I like closed my computer. I said, we're going for a walk outside because I just don't. But sometimes it gets like overwhelming, and you're just staring at a computer screen and you're staring at words, transcripts, and I'm like, can I just have a break, please? Like, let me go on TikTok real quick.
Right. Like maybe there's something you can write about that you found through TikTok. That would be a
Yeah.
little nice, a little convenient. So as a arts and culture writer, like especially specifically for, the Bronx, are you like, out in the streets going to like pop up art things or like the movies or something? Like what are the things you like touch on or like have written about?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixture of both. Sometimes I'll go visit, sometimes I'll do interviews virtually and like just have them describe to me the event or anything of that sort. But I've covered a lot for everything from like fashion to mutual aid organizations like community fridges and like homelessness. I've tackled those issues. I've also tackled issues about like representation and a lot of that stuff. I will say my favorite story though by far was just recently. It was about a tattoo artist, and she helps breast cancer survivors with their surgery scars. So yeah, so it was amazing. She worked in the Bronx, now is in Manhattan, but now I think she's overseas right now. But yeah, it was amazing to connect with her and to connect with the survivor who received a tattoo and like really dive into the stories of them and put them on a platform. And it was like really ranked high on our website. So I was super proud about that. But
Ooh,
yeah.
okay, performance.
Yeah. This has always been like my life. I've always wanted to provide like a platform for people to share their stories and a change in narrative too. That's like not what mainstream media is. I guess suggesting, like really dive in deeper to the complexities that aren't talked about.
Yeah, and I really love that you said that because I feel like as, the ill-famed Generation Z, I feel like a lot of the narrative that's been creeping up in like social media or like mainstream wise is like how we don't want to work, which is like, okay, name somebody who does, but I really liked how you said like this has always been a goal of yours to like give people a platform because, and especially like I love pop culture, news, etc. Like, but when you're in those spaces, and especially being in advertising, like you really see how things companies do or, small businesses, etc. Like you really see how it does contribute to like a specific narrative or like the way we see things, like the whole like skinny is back in. that, you know, we're seeing in like publications and stuff. It's like we literally went through this like 15 years ago, and you see what's going on now. Like you, like we, especially our generation, like you literally see how low-rise jeans, a flat belly, and insert whatever else was detrimental to people. So like, why do we think this is a good idea again? And who's not reading the room? Because I could tell you right now, we're in it bad.
Yeah, for sure.
But is there, and a question I usually ask people too, is, you know, like, do you feel like what you learned in college, like, applies to, you know, what you want to do, etc.? Which, talking now, it seems like yes, but you could be like, I did not, you know, maybe school didn't prepare you for this topic or like this, you know, idea or concept, but, you know, let me know.
Yeah, so I will say during my Seton Hall time, I was with the newspaper, and I feel like I thought I was prepared up until I went to grad school. And I will say this, my first assignment in grad school, this just gives you a scope of the intensity. My first story was to cover Rikers Island protests. And I had to spend a few hours reporting at the protest and write a story within like 3 hours of coming back. And that was due like in one day. So you have to learn how to navigate and pivot in like stressful situations. And I feel like I didn't get that in Seton Hall or at Seton Hall. But going to grad school, I feel like I was able to understand how to report on violence, how to report on identities, how to report on a lot of different issues that communities face. But also, I will note that you're in New York City, so you're obviously having to tackle a lot of these issues. And even the two learning from my peers, like how you start an interview, like, okay, how would you like to be addressed by, like, what are your pronouns, you know, stuff like that. Like, I feel like I didn't take that from Seton Hall, but coming into grad school, I'm like, those are really like important factors to ask, you know, how people identify as, you know, pronouns to race, identity. I definitely learned a lot in grad school from the professor standpoint and experience standpoint, but also from my colleagues and my peers.
And the reason I'm like, like Oprah, is because like, as you're saying this, like, my brain is literally about to burst open because, once again, I have shat on Seton Hall before. But if you think about it, like, our school isn't or wasn't, a stranger to drama, to controversy, to, you know, like, we are literally on the least happy students list.
So insane.
And it's been that way since I've been in school. Yeah. And I heard that we ranked yet again. And I'm like, I am literally 2 years post-grad. Not that I'm saying, you know, life could turn on a switch, everybody's great again in 2 years. But like, that doesn't feel great. So for you to like mention how the program didn't necessarily prepare you for like all of, you know, the hard hitting topics, let's say, that, you know, affect people's day to day lives when it was literally happening like in our dorms and our front steps. It's like, so who's gonna talk about that for the curriculum? Because I could literally name like 5 instances of which a professor could be like, so this is happening, go write about it and bring it back.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what I lack. Like, why was I, there was so much happening and I felt like we weren't covering it, if that makes sense, at Seton Hall. And I feel like they can utilize the journalism department. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, go out, Concern 44, like, which Concern 44 was the protest at Seton Hall. Like, go cover that. Like, let's have a, let's change the curriculum and, like, let's focus on how to cover protests and all the, and I'm like, why didn't we?
Not us about to run a whole university program.
Yeah. For real.
the many instances of the apparent issues of mental health on our campus.
Mm-hmm.
Literally out in the field reporting, you know?
Exactly. And you know what, though? When I, so I ended my term at the newspaper as the editor for the campus life section. And if you go throughout my time from January to May, I strive to bring that like inclusive, diverse viewpoints, like where we talked about mental health. We brought up diverse, you know, Black, brown, gay actors, actresses, movies. Like I really wanted to bring that to the forefront so people can understand how to report on this at a predominantly white institution, something that like we lacked in the curriculum, I felt like.
And did you feel like it was well received, like as you were bringing these ideas to the paper, or like was it kind of like okay, you know, like do you remember that like receiving energy?
I, from my staff, which I managed probably like 15-20 people, yeah, like campus life is always that entertainment like pop girl that like people want to, you know, talk about. So it was fun. And I felt like my staff was well received because I try to formulate connections with them. And I feel like that's all, you know, what are your interests? Like, let's talk about what stories we can do, you know, revolved around race and all of that. But at that time it was virtual. So I really wasn't connecting with my editorial staff. But my stories, I felt like we were doing a great job. I mean, you know, hopefully that set a trend going forward to like bring that diverse, inclusive viewpoint. If it wasn't me, I hope the staff members that got that, you know, utilize that going forward.
And I'm curious, back to your point when you were talking about like the missed opportunities of like your specific classes and curriculums, like not really connecting with what was happening on campus at the time. Like, did you notice that like as it was happening, or is it kind of like now that, you know, you're in a new environment, now that, you know, you're in a new career, like you're literally like mm-hmm. starting slash in your career where you're like touching on these different things, like in hindsight, you're like, what the hell is that?
No, for real. What the hell was that? Because I look back at Seton Hall and I'm like, what did I like? If you told me like what's one key takeaway you learned from the program, I didn't get that in my classes. I truly did not. And it's sad to say because I like wasted money, but I think though what I learn is like experiences, like with the Setonian, with, you know, connecting with the peers and colleagues. Like I think that's what I really gained from it. And I think that's what I was needing in grad school. That's why I think I probably pursued it now looking back, is because I felt like in my head I wasn't ready, but I didn't want to vocalize it. So I was like, okay, let's figure out a solution, how to get ready.
I love that you said that. And honestly, wow. See, once again, I keep having aha moments. Really loving this. Because you, and I guess I never thought about it too with like a like the topic concept of journalism. Like you only learn with what's in your bubble wherever you are. So like somebody who is an undergrad at a CUNY school is probably maybe not necessarily learning like everything you're doing right now, but maybe they have like more of an inkling than you did at Seton Hall, or like, you know, if you ended up staying in school in Texas, like that would have been completely different maybe from like, you know, like so that extra step of getting your master's is like, okay, here's a completely different experience than what you've had, and it's only going to add so many more resources like to your belt.
Exactly. And I seen Hall sets looking back, like I even look back at my snap memories, I was like, wow, I feel like I was kind of like not like super, I felt like I was really unhappy there because I was like, I wasn't utilizing my potential there. And I felt like Seton Hall was like pushing it down. Like you're, Seton Hall is literally what you make of it, but you're only in the gates. Like if that makes sense, like you, there's no exploring Seton Hall besides, you know, what it gives you. So yeah, I don't regret Seton Hall because it taught me a lot. And maybe that's what I take away from it. It's the personal growth from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I say it all the time, you know, I you know, if I had to do it again, I might go to a different school. But I would regret that because of everybody I met, the different things I learned. And even like to your same point, like being a marketing major at, you know, a school that's popular for the business school. Mm-hmm. And like marketing is literally A, slept on, and B, like, you know, it is called the white girl of the business majors, unfortunately. But it's also like, why is, if I'm looking to take an advertising class, the only class available was print advertising. Ma'am, we are not in 2008. And as much as I love a good magazine, as much as I love a good newspaper, there is no reason, if you're going to have print, at least give me digital too. Like, you know, like, what can, give me a social media, a little bit of something, please.
You know, similar to your point, now looking back, like, we didn't have, there was one course available, and it was, like, social media and journalism. And I'm like, okay, we are literally in 2020, like, 2020, 2019, like, where we're dominated by, like, digital markets and everything. Like, why are we focusing, like, right now, I will say I am in print, but, like, why are we not focusing on, like, you know, what's the technology and advancing our careers through the skill set we would learn in that? But yeah, like, I felt like it was super archaic at Seton Hall. Like, they're in the Stone Age.
Like, what really, is happening? They really are, and I'm curious to know if they're ever gonna realize it, you know?
And now, okay, so just do a comparative of Seton Hall and my grad program. Like, at my grad program, there's drone journalism. There's like, yeah, so like I'm in that
a drone, bitch.
Yes. So like
I'm literally shocked.
Yeah, I was flying drones in Brooklyn like a few weeks ago, Halloween weekend. I was flying drones. So it's like I get that experience. Of course, I'm not going to be like a pilot flying planes, but like, you know, it's just that experience and understanding like where technology can take you in terms of your reporting. So yeah, there's so many courses that entertainment reporting for somebody that used to work at Entertainment Weekly, like you have all these courses that there was, I mean, it didn't end up getting going through, but there's fashion reporting, there's investigative entertainment reporting. Like there's so many different topics. Yeah, like cultural criticism. So it's like,
and I didn't even get that at Seton Hall. Ooh, cultural criticism. See, and even as like we're talking about this now, like I'm getting more ideas. Like, I mean, not to be, you know, true crime podcast with like a, you know, at some point somebody's heard something, right? So like I'm really like, you know, our journalism school is getting into like the podcasting all, or at least including different ways of which you can share, you know, your investigative XYZ.
Yeah, so even at my program right now, we had a new course, music reporting. And I think their last assignment, I'm not in that course and I regret it so much, but their last assignment is to do like a podcast about like music, and they just critique it and stuff.
Wait, stop. I'm literally, okay, do I want to go to get my master's in journalism?
Hey, there's a space for everyone. We need more podcast people at too.
I mean, not to just toot the podcast, but it, because as soon as you said like music reporting, initially what comes to mind is like, I don't know what publication does it, you know, ranking the albums or like,
a Rolling
you know,
Stone.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the, maybe it's Pitchfork that like rates the album itself, but yes. It's like, yes. It's people who actually like know what to say or like, or at least give you insight as to like why they're judging it this way or something like that. Like I'm really sitting here like, it does make sense.
Yeah.
See, these are the few moments where like education excites me because, and I know I shit on like going to school a lot because in the idea of it all sounds great, but then in practice you're like, do I have a life? But when you are in classes or like you are in programs where you're really excited about what you're doing, it's like, yes, I literally could have gone to sleep 3 hours ago, but mm-hmm. I kind of am like really excited about like what I'm writing about or like this project that I'm working on.
Yeah. And even For me with journalism, I'll get emotional talking about it because I just love the people I talk to and the stories I've heard is really heartwarming, and I love to share their stories. And I think, like you said, like I can get an hour of sleep, you know, and as long as their story is published, like I'm so happy to see the reaction to it. But journalism is definitely an interesting field, though. But hey, if you want to be an auto journalist, there's a program at our school.
Listen, the way I only know MLA format, and that is slowly like leaking out of my brain. I couldn't even tell you what APA is.
Not MLA.
I've heard of Chicago. Is that still a thing?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't even know. Like Chicago.
Okay, perfect.
Please
So maybe I can't
enlighten
go
me.
to maybe me, like my lack of knowledge can get by.
No, because you said Chicago and I was thinking like the city. I was like, where are we going? Like,
Wait,
what
I
is
think
happening?
Chicago format is a thing.
No, it probably is.
I feel
No,
like it's one of
I'm
those.
100%. Like a medical one.
Listen, sometimes the way I make stuff up by accident, there's a lot of useless knowledge in here. L this brain is Chicago format. Please.
No, you're right. There is
Yes, I feel seen and I feel validated. The Chicago Manual of Style, the central guide for writers, editors, and publishers. So
Oh,
I'm
I
assuming you don't
never.
do that.
No, I don't.
Great.
I just write an article, 700 to 1,000 words, and just send it. Like.
So you're telling me nobody's looking at these various formats we were forced to learn about in high school?
I have never MLA, APA, Chicago'd anything in my life.
Oh my gosh, this is really groundbreaking for me because when, like, it's so annoying in hindsight. There's 5,000 different things like I always like to do. And then when I used to think about journalism, it'd be like, ooh, writing. But at the time, it was me thinking I was a really horrible writer. Turns out I just had a really insufferable AP Lang teacher who whittled me down. Whittled me down. But one of them was like, I have to know all these, like, it was just an assumption. Like, I have to know all these formats or like all these rules. Like, ethics and morals, that's easy. Easy peasy. You know, do good.
I will say that the only thing I do have to know is AP style, but like that's easy. Like, well, to me, oh, I've just done it so long that, like, okay, do you capitalize governor or do you capitalize? Do you abbreviate the state or how do you go about doing like addresses and stuff like that? But you just search it up, like, you know, Google
See,
it.
and that's the other thing, Google.
Your best friend.
Like I was telling Beth, I literally had to submit like a fake press release or something. Do I know how to write one? Absolutely not. Did I Google it? I sure did,
Yeah.
and I think it worked.
And even too, like as a journalist, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need a synonym. Let me Google it really fast. Like Google is your best
Exactly. Thesaurus.com, dictionary.com. Everything is literally at our fingertips for a reason. That's why the internet was created.
Exactly. And bless it. Because I don't know where I would be without it.
Wow. I'm really just soaking up this conversation because I'm learning so many different things. We're having so many different realizations. In the
No.
words of Kylie Jenner, it's the year of realizing things.
Kylie.
It just doesn't stop. It's so crazy. So, how have, and you kind of said this earlier that like you really don't know how you're managing to like juggle all of, you know, everything that's on your plate, but you are graduating soon. So that is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Barely.
But it's a really small light. But what would you Do you have any like things that help you disconnect or like take a break from what you're doing? Or, you know, are you still struggling to figure out how to do that?
I will say I use my phone as a way to like disconnect from the world. Like I'll go on TikTok, I'll go on Twitter, but I feel like I need something different because I feel like those type of platforms like are really toxic in terms of like mental health because you're seeing people live like fabulous lives and doing this. Meanwhile, you're just like you have an article to write that's due in 2 hours, and like you're just stressed. So I need a better way to disconnect, and I'm still searching for that. And I really taken a liking to podcasts because I feel like I'm getting educated, but I can relax and I can do stuff and I can feel motivated listening to one. But yeah, it's kind of, I'm in that like middle ground where I'm still trying to figure out what makes me happy and like disconnect in a healthy and safe way. Because I will say this, that grad school for me, and I realized this very early on, was like, it made me drink a lot. Like I would be like, I need a margarita, I need a Corona, I need something to like take the edge off. And I learned very early that that's not like a healthy way to cope like with stress at all. Like, yeah, have a glass of wine or do something like that. But if I'm going out like every day of the week after school and doing this, like that wasn't a healthy coping mechanism. So I learned that, and I'm super happy to say like I'm trying to find like healthier ways to cope with stress for sure.
But are you, what's the one thing you look forward to the most as you slowly approach graduation?
I really, oh, that's such an interesting question because I really haven't thought about that. You know what? I would just say the stability of life. I think right now, I go through so many like roller coaster of emotions in terms of like my job, in terms of school, friendships, personal life, like relationships. I just think I'm ready to have a job, then be stable with the connections moving forward, if that makes sense. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah. And it does require a little bit of work. And, but it is nice to like, I mean, for some people, not speaking for all, but it is nice to see my calendar for the week and be like, all right, these are my meetings. This is what's gonna do. And otherwise, I could be an influencer waiting for a brand to reach out to me. And that is a stress I don't wanna know.
I just that like what you said, stability, like opening up a Google Calendar and seeing like nothing structured, and I'm like, oh, and I know with journalism it's always like up in the air, but like I just want something where we have regular meetings and I have regular deadlines. Like, yeah, there shouldn't be no reason why I'm like texting people at like 11 p.m. for an interview. Like, it's just so much. But I mean, it's the job. But yeah, I really need stability in my life.
And you'll get that. I feel it. We're claiming it. We're manifesting it. Nick, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Of course.
I really love this conversation. I'm so glad we had it.
The questions
Usually,
book.
you're the one with the hard-hitting questions.
Yes.
Yes.
That was so nice.
Yeah.